Want to wish Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and what a blessed day it is. And even though this is a special day for mothers, we need to recognize and appreciate and respect our mothers every single day of the week, don't we? And we appreciate all of you. Let's go ahead and start our morning by reading a passage from Psalms, Psalm 119, and let's read verses 137 through 144. Psalm 119, verses 137 through 144. And here the psalmist says in verse 137, "Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." What a wonderful thing it is to have the Word of God. And we can trust the Word of God, and we can trust God Almighty, because He is righteous, and He is holy, and it is an everlasting righteousness. He never changes. There's a big word that describes God, His immutability. He never changes. He is always the same. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. Amen. Let's go ahead and take our bulletins this morning and look at some of the things going on this week and in the weeks to come. I do want to mention also for all of the mothers here this morning, we do have carnations on the back table and some other Mother's Day plaques there. And go ahead and pick one of those up if you're a mother. And then if we have extras, some of the other ladies can go ahead and pick up the extra carnations, and that will be wonderful. And hopefully that's a blessing in your life this morning. This afternoon, we have our Park Ridge Manor Nursing Home Ministry, and that we leave the church at 2:30, and we go there to Park Ridge and minister to the older folks there. That's at 3 o'clock at Park Ridge Manor and Pleasant Hill. Tonight, we'll have our Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock, and I'm not sure if you can hear it from back there, but we're filling up the baptistry, and we'll be baptizing Kevin Knox this evening, and praise the Lord for that. Looking forward to that. And then on Tuesday, we have a couple special events, at least one special event. We'll have our Mother's Day celebration on Tuesday at 6 o'clock here at the church in the basement. And there's sign-up sheets on the back bulletin board. If you're interested in coming to that, go ahead and sign up there. Then also on Tuesday, we'll have our men's Bible study at 7 o'clock. I would encourage you to come to that. It's a great time. And then on Wednesday, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting at 7 o'clock here at the church. I want to wish a happy birthday to Joe Wallert on the 13th. That would be Ruth's son. And we appreciate him. And then here's a thank you. Andy Scott, he just graduated on this past Friday, and he wants to express a big thank you to all of those that had a part in that in his celebration as far as his graduation. There are many that gave gifts and gave encouraging words to him, and he'd like to thank you for all of those things. And we can be praying for him, definitely. He's planning on flying to Boston on the 18th of May. So we want to continue to pray for him as he'll be gone for 3 months there in Boston, ministering and helping to plant a church there in Boston. We've already talked about the Mother's Day celebration. As we continue to go down the bulletin there, on the back of it, we have a wedding shower for Stephen and Priscilla. A number of you have been wondering about that. They will be getting married on the 30th of May, but we'll have a wedding shower for them after they get married, and we'll have the wedding shower on June 20th, that's a Saturday, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So be sure to mark your calendars for that, and that'll be a great time to show our appreciation to Stephen and Priscilla. And then another note to keep in mind on the 24th, it's a couple weeks from now, on the 24th we'll have missionary guests, Mark and Leslie Boyd, and they're planning on going to Germany, and be sure to be praying for them as they'll be coming here in a couple weeks to share their burden for Germany with us. Any other announcements? Very good. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for this wonderful day. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what a blessing it is to be here this morning. And we do thank You that it is Mother's Day, a special time set apart to appreciate our mothers. And we do thank You for each and every mother here and each and every grandmother that is here this morning. And we appreciate for for what they mean in our lives. And we do thank you for godly mothers. I even do thank you for my mother and the part that she played in my life and how she taught me the things of God early in my childhood. So I do thank you for all the mothers here. And I do thank you for each father and each son and daughter as well. But what a special place mothers hold in our hearts. We do thank you for this privilege of being here this morning. What a privilege it is to gather together as born-again believers, people who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and to worship together, to sing songs of praise, to give of our finances, to look into the Word of God, and to be encouraged and challenged. And I do pray for those who are struggling this morning too. I do think of the Kirkpatrick family as Eddie just recently passed away. I do pray for May as it's difficult on her too. So I do pray for those who are struggling with losses in their life. I do pray for those who are struggling with their health as well. And I know there are many that struggle with different areas in their life. But I pray that no matter what is going on in our life, whatever problems we may have, I pray that we'd trust you and that we'd go to you in prayer, because you are more than capable of meeting our every need. And we thank you for that. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross for us, how he was buried, and how he rose again the third day. And I thank you for that free gift of salvation available to anyone who believes. So even now as we sing songs of praise, as we look into your word, I pray that you'd be glorified in a great way. And I pray that you'd even change us and mold us so that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And it is in his name I pray. Amen.
Take your blue psalm books today. Turn number 535. Today is Mother's Day, as you should know. And today, while we're going to recognize the part that God has given for mothers to play and what our own mothers have done in our lives, ultimately on this day, we are going to glorify our Lord. So we will recognize our mothers. But keep in mind and turn your hearts today to the Lord Jesus Christ, who deserves all of our praise and glory and honor. And it's to him that we sing today. And we're going to sing A Christian Home, number 535. And stand with me as we go ahead and sing. Oh, give us a home built upon the firm foundation of the Savior Jesus Christ. Let's sing it.
Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior. Start.
turn to number 201, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Hope you're experiencing this grace today and can sing of its marvelousness and its matchlessness. Let's sing.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's Mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pour out and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Verse 2.
Sin and despair like the sea waves grow, trapped in the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot light. What can a veil to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Wider than snow you may be.
Take our morning offering. Brother Wilcox, could you go ahead and pray God's blessing on that?
Heavenly Father, we just are thankful for this day to remember our mothers. Father, the ones that have believed in you, and Father, that have been faithful and sharing their faith with their children, so that, Father, that they might learn about you and know you, Father. We just thank you, too, for how you supply for each of our needs, how you provide the things for our households, and, Father, for this offering now that we bring back to you to honor you, Father. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
continue our song service this morning with number 473, Victory in Jesus. At this time, the children who are all the way from preschool to third grade can go ahead and step on out downstairs and can enjoy their own activities. And we are going to sing Victory in Jesus. Sing out with me. I heard an old story.
I heard an old story.
My Savior for how long? Forever. Are you going to believe that tomorrow? Did you believe that last Monday? Amen. Forever. He'll be our Savior next week too, no matter what happens. No matter what our government does, no matter what our legislator enacts, no matter what wars occur, Christ will still be our Savior, no matter what happens. All right, sing with me out on the second verse.
I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken.
Song service today, turn to number 505. As you do so, go ahead and stand with me. Take our final stretch before Pastor Kramer comes and delivers the word to us. Love lifted me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me.
much for participating this morning. Go ahead and have a chair.
Amen. Thank you, Cassie and Verva. Thank you, Stephen. What a blessing. God's love. It lifts us out of the deep pit, doesn't it? Because of Jesus Christ, we have hope, we have joy, if we believe in Him. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is today just to think and to ponder and stand in awe of how much You love us. And we realize without Your love, there would be nothing. We thank You that You have loved us, that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Help us never to take that fact for granted. Help us to always stand in awe of who You are, of the salvation that You have given to us. I do even pray this morning, if there is one that does not personally know Jesus Christ, I pray that even today would be the day of salvation, that today that person would believe on Jesus Christ and have eternal life. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today is Mother's Day. I think we all realize that. But it's a special day that is set aside to remember mothers, those who are so dear to our lives. And probably most of you have big plans for this afternoon, or maybe big plans for this evening, or maybe you've already done something special this morning. Maybe you've already treated your mother or your grandmother or your wife to breakfast in bed. Any of you get breakfast in bed this morning? Maybe not. But maybe you're going to have a special lunch this morning. Or maybe a special summer, or a special supper. Or maybe you've gotten a bouquet of flowers. Or maybe some special chocolates. Or whatever is dear to your heart, maybe somebody has treated you with those things. Or maybe you're looking forward to that special phone call from your son or from your daughter. Or maybe you'll have a special visit. I'm sure there's many things that you're thinking of. And we realize, like I mentioned before, Mother's Day is just one day out of the year, isn't it? But truly, our mothers are so special and so important that we should honor them and respect them and treat them specially every single day of the year. It's a special day. We have special mothers. I'm sure you're familiar with the words that we read in Proverbs chapter 31. I'll read for you verses 10 through 12 of Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Then we'll skip ahead to verses 26 through 31. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children raise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Mothers are precious. But a godly mother, a godly wife, is priceless. It tells us there in Proverbs 31 that a virtuous wife is far above rubies in her worth. As I think about mothers today, I think about a mother's special ability, that special knack that they have to comfort those who are going through difficult times. I'm sure that you've seen mothers, perhaps you yourself as a mother have done this. You've had children come to you. You've had kids come to you after they've fallen down and they've scratched their elbow, or maybe they've bummed up their knee. And they come to you for comfort. And it seems as if mothers have that special ability, with just a simple hug or a kiss, or that special care that comforts and consoles a child that is having difficulty. And even those who are older, we can go to our mothers, and for some reason it seems like there's just that special compassion, and you feel better once you get done talking with your mother. But mothers have so much wisdom oftentimes to offer, so much love, and they are willing to give and to sacrifice for the benefit of those who are in need. But what happens whenever a mother is going through a difficult time? Who is there to comfort that mother whenever she is struggling with problems in her life? And this morning we're going to look at a woman from the Bible. Yes, a woman from the Bible that had problems in her life, but yet she was a godly wife. She was a godly mother. She had a problem that caused her very much grief in her life, very much sorrow. But this godly woman gives us an example of how we should be living our lives, whether we're a mother or not. Let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to read, first of all, verses 1 through 7 as we work through this first chapter of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. 1 Samuel 1, verses 1 through 7. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tahu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she had went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're introduced to a certain man. He's from Ramathaim Zophim, and his name was Elkanah. And this man had two wives. The name of the one wife was Hannah, and the name of the other wife was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. She was barren. And this was a huge problem for Hannah. And I think that we can identify with Hannah today. But even in the ancient days of Israel, this was something even worse than it would have been today. It would have been an extreme sorrow, an extreme heartache for Hannah. We find in the Scriptures that God had given the nation of Israel, He had given them a special status. He had chosen them as His own people. He had made a covenant with them. And He tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 7, you can turn there with me if you would like, otherwise I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and in verse 11, we read, "Therefore you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today, to observe them. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which He swore to your fathers. And He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock, in the land of which He swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you, or among all your livestock." We find in Genesis chapter 15, God had told Abraham in verse 5 of Genesis 15, "Look now toward heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them." And He said to them, "So shall your descendants be." So as we look at this, at the nation of Israel, to have children was a blessing from the Lord. And to have male children was even more important to the Israelites, because it was the men of the family who would be designated to carry on the family name, who would be the leaders in society. But here we find Hannah, she had no children. And there was nothing that she could do about it. It wasn't her fault. The Lord had closed her womb. And perhaps this is why Elkanah had two wives, because Hannah was unable to have children. So Elkanah very possibly may have taken the second wife, Peninnah, only after it was evident that Hannah could not have children. But you can imagine how Hannah must have felt. She would have felt that God's blessing was somehow absent in her life. She would have searched herself, and she would have felt inadequate. She would have felt as if she were letting her husband down because she couldn't give her husband any children. And what made it even worse was the fact that Peninnah, the other wife, she gave Hannah grief. We find in verse 6, that this wife of Elkanah's was Hannah's rival. We have a rivalry here in the family. And Peninnah provoked Hannah severely. And she made her miserable to the point to where Hannah, she cried, she wept, and she would not eat. So we find this is a real problem in Hannah's life. But yet we see in the midst of this extreme problem, there is a bright spot. Because we find Hannah's husband was a godly man. We find that he did as the Lord had instructed him. He went every year to the tabernacle of the Lord there in Shiloh to offer sacrifices. And it was at the same time that Elkanah's love for his wife, Hannah, it shone brightly for everyone to see. Because Elkanah would give Hannah a double portion of the offering. Okay, because he loved her so much, while all the others would only receive a single portion. Even though Hannah could give him no children, Elkanah still loved her, and it showed to everyone around them. And I think this is probably why Peninnah, the second wife, had tormented Hannah so much, especially at this time. Because Peninnah knew that Elkanah, her husband, loved Hannah so very much. And I think Peninnah was jealous of Hannah. And so Peninnah rubbed it in, as far as Hannah was concerned, that she had no children. Peninnah had many children, but Hannah had none. Do you have a problem this morning? It may not seem as big of a problem as Hannah's. Perhaps you have children. But perhaps you have a problem that is deeply grieving your heart. Maybe you have a problem that you can say is just as bad as Hannah's. Maybe you're a mother that has problems. Maybe you want to be a mother, like Hannah wanted to be, but yet God has not allowed you to have children. But whether you're a mother or a maiden, whether you're a husband or a father, or a daughter, or a son, whatever the case may be, all of us have problems, don't we? The question is, what are we going to do about the problems that are in our life? How are we going to respond? We can learn from Elkanah in this passage because he supported and loved Hannah despite the problems and the difficulties that she was going through. But we realize, just as Elkanah must have realized, that even though we support and we love those who are going through difficult times, those people that go through difficult times, they still are going to grieve. They're still going to have sorrow from those life's troubles. We clearly see Hannah's problem here in the Bible. But what was her response to the problem? Let's continue reading on, verses 8 through 18 of 1 Samuel. And let's see how Hannah responds to her problem. In verse 8, "Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?' So Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.' And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.' But Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now.' Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him.' And she said, 'Let your maidservant find favor in your sight.' So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." So we find here, as we read these verses, Hannah responded in a way that was only natural. She wept, she didn't eat. And no doubt Hannah loved and appreciated her husband, Elkanah, and all the compassion that he had on her. But yet that heartache still remained with Hannah. She grieved. She was sorrowful. And we don't know how many years Hannah would grieve like this, year after year after year. We don't know how many years Hannah was tormented by Peninnah, this rival wife. But we find this year, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, this narrative, this year was different than the previous years. Yes, Hannah still wept. Yes, she refrained from eating. But this year, she went to the tabernacle of the Lord. And there she prayed to the Lord. How do we respond whenever we're faced with life's problems? Whenever we're faced with things that seem to be hopeless in our own eyes? No doubt there are times when we just break down. We break down and we cry. And we may not eat for a while. We think we just can't handle it anymore. And that grief that we have, it has a great impact on us, both physically and emotionally and spiritually. And it affects others as well. And grief is a natural response. It is something that is only natural to our human experience. But grief must not be the only response in our life whenever we have troubles. We must not carry our burdens alone. We must go to the Lord in prayer, because He is the one that can make things right. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." We read in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We find in Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." And then one more, Psalm 55 and verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." So we find here Hannah praying to the Lord. She pours her heart out to the Lord. And she asks Him to alleviate her pain, to alleviate her suffering, to solve her problem. She asked for a male child, a baby boy. But she didn't end there, did she? She wasn't selfish in her request. Because before the Lord even answered her prayer, Hannah purposed in her heart to give back to the Lord. We find in verse 11, she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." So as we look at ourselves this morning, are we bold in our requests to the Lord? Hannah was very bold in what she asked for. Are we bold this morning in what we ask of it, as far as what we need from the Lord? And do we pray in faith? And we must ask ourselves too, do we pray selfishly? Or do we pray selflessly? We must be willing to give back to the Lord those things that are even most dear to our hearts. Do we recognize the power of the prayer of faith? I think all of us realize that prayer is a powerful thing. But do we practice what we believe? How earnestly do we pray whenever we are confronted with the trials of life? Do we try to fix things in our own power, in our own strength? Or do we leave them at the feet of Jesus? Do we leave our trials and our problems at the feet of Jesus? As we pray, let us never be selfish. Let us not pray just so that we can get into a better situation. But let us pray so that God would be glorified. Let us pray, yes, in a God-centered way, and not in a self-centered way. There's so much in this book of this chapter of 1 Samuel. And we find that as Hannah prayed, she was misunderstood by those who watched her. We find Eli the high priest. Eli was watching her. And Eli got the wrong idea as he watched Hannah praying. And Eli thought that Hannah was drunk. He made an assumption. And Hannah, in the state of mind that she was, she could have done any number of things. She could have lashed out at him. She could have ran away crying. But what does Hannah do? She explains in a respectful way what she was going through and what she was doing. She explained to him the reality of the situation. And in return, responding in that godly manner, she received the blessing of Eli. We read in verse 17, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." As we look at our own lives, we may be misunderstood as far as how we worship the Lord, how we serve the Lord. But if we truly are worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, even when the others misunderstand us, we must explain to them how we are worshiping and serving the Lord and how it is in accordance with the Word of God. We must clear up any confusion. But let us continue reading through the chapter now, because we find that Hannah's prayer is answered. So let us read verses 19 through 28. "Then they rose early in the morning, and they worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked for him from the Lord.' Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever.' So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word.' Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when he had weaned him, he took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, 'O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I pray, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord.' So they worshipped the Lord there." So we find here, praise the Lord, Hannah's prayer was answered in the greatest of ways. She did conceive, she bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. And can you imagine the joyfulness in that house? Both Hannah and Elkanah, they must have been rejoicing, praising the Lord. Because year upon year upon year, Hannah had no child. She was unable to have any children at all. But now, after countless reproaches, Hannah was able to have a son. She had what she had desired for so many years. Now, if you are a mother, or even if you are a father, I'm sure you can understand how difficult it would have been for Hannah to give up her son. It'd be difficult to give up a child, no matter who it was, but especially in this case, because Hannah was not able to have children for so many years. But now finally she had a son. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to give up that son? Can you imagine? You may be tempted to keep that son back for yourself, to be selfish. But yet Hannah did what was right. She kept her commitment to the Lord. She fulfilled her vow to the Lord. We read in Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 through 22. "When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you." We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay." So it's very important that we keep our vows to the Lord. And Hannah knew this. She knew it was absolutely important that she keeps her vow to the Lord. And she did what was best for herself and what was best for her son, for her entire family. So she brought her son, Samuel, to that same high priest who had originally misunderstood her. And Hannah gave her son to lifelong service to the Lord. And what a blessing that must have been for everyone involved. Now I'm sure that you have prayed many times to the Lord. I have prayed many times to the Lord. All of us have. Have our prayers been answered? And I think all of us could look at many times where our prayers have been answered in a great way. How do we respond to the Lord's acts of mercy in our life? Do we follow through with those commitments that we have made to the Lord? We must do what is right, no matter what the case may be, no matter how we might feel or how we may think, because God's way is always right, and it is always best for us, for those dear to us, to do what is the Lord's bidding for us. It's such a great story here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, but it would be a pity not to go and look at Hannah's praise there in the first part of chapter 2. Because Hannah not only kept her promise to the Lord, but she praised the Lord for answered prayer. Let's look at verses 1 through 11 briefly of chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of His saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven He will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed." Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. What a great God Hannah served. What a great God we serve. Because God hasn't changed at all. God is the one who can do the impossible. God is the one who can make the weak strong. He is the one who can make the strong weak. He is able to give children to the childless. He is able, in His power, to kill and to make alive. He is willing to make poor and to make rich. He is in absolute control, and He will do as He wishes to do. And what a privilege it is for us, though feeble we are, to go to this Almighty God with all of our problems. Because in reality, our problems really are no problem at all. Because God is able to do that which is impossible. So let us pour out before Him our troubles and our trials, our joys and our hopes. But as we look there at verse 11 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, this also is a wonderful verse. Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. We could read and look at Samuel's entire life. As we look at Samuel's life, we find a man who is faithful to the Lord. He was a godly man, and he had a great impact upon the nation of Israel for the good of the nation. And as we look at Hannah, this truly would have been one of the greatest, if not the greatest, blessing in her life. To have a child who faithfully serves the Lord. One of the greatest blessings in Hannah's life. We look at Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 through 25. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." One of those best Mother's Day presents that you could ever get is to have a child, a son or a daughter, faithfully serving the Lord in true holiness and love. So whoever we are this morning, whether we are a mother or a father, a son or a daughter, we must remember what is truly important in life. Yes, all of us have problems, but let us remember that God is Almighty. He is the one that can solve all of our problems. Let us obey God's word. And let us thank and praise God for answered prayer. And let us rejoice in God's goodness. Scripture is filled with so many godly examples, but this morning we have seen three godly examples. We've seen Elkanah, the example of a godly husband and father. We see Hannah, the example of a godly wife and mother. We see Samuel, who is a godly son. Praise the Lord for godly mothers, for godly fathers, godly sons and daughters. And may God be glorified in our lives. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these godly examples. And I pray that we'd follow the godly example of Hannah. How even though she had problems, she went to the Lord God Almighty. She went to You. Because she knew that You were able to fix her problem. And yet she wasn't selfish. She was willing to give back that which You had given to her. And then we see her wonderful praise. Help us to praise You for answered prayer. And help us to live godly lives. Lives that are pleasing in Your sight. Lives that are filled with true holiness and love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As you close the day, turn in your blue songbooks to number 430. I Must Tell Jesus. Stand with me as we close in song. Sing with me.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear.
Problems in our life. We all have trials. We all have tribulations. But no matter what's going on in our life, we can trust in the Lord. And we can pray to Him and we can leave all of our burdens at His feet. There's no need for us to carry them on our own shoulders. God is good. He is faithful. He loves us. And He wants the best for us. But it all begins with accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't done that yet, you can do that right now, even right where you're standing or sitting. Believe on Jesus Christ that He died on the cross for you. He paid that death penalty for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And then He was seen by many witnesses. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But if you've done that, God wants you to obey His Word. He wants you to bring all of your trials and your troubles before Him. Because He is more than able to do that which is impossible. Let's sing stanza number 3.
Let's sing.
Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus and He will help me. Over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Hope you're trusting in Christ as your Savior and as your help always, this today and this week. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You so much that we have a high priest sitting at Your right hand, who is Jesus Christ our Lord, and that we can come to Him always with all of our burdens, Lord, with all of our sins, all of our loads, Lord, that hold us down. Father, all the cares of our hearts, Lord, whether they be concerns or worries or even sins, Lord, that we can lay them at the feet of Christ, who not only carries them, Lord, but also has already paid the penalty for any sin And Lord, that He gives us His very righteousness so that we may live once again holy life before You, able to please You and to rejoice in You and to worship You, Lord, not only on Sunday, not only with our mouths and what we sing, but Lord, in how we think and what we do. I pray, Lord, that we would give our lives as a living sacrifice of worship to You. I pray that that would be the desire of each and every heart here, and that we would find our truest and greatest purpose in that. And I pray all these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.